I'm Ramsey Canaan. On this, the 75th anniversary of the Spanish Revolution, we're looking at the nature of that conflict, the inspiration to many radicals at that time and ever since. My guest is Stuart Christie, anarchist publisher, activist, and author of numerous books, including We the Anarchists, about this Spanish Anarchist Federation, FAI. He joins me from the UK. So the revolution was militarily crushed, was assimilated, and of course, by 1938, Franco was successful. What happened to the revolutionary ideals, and those militants following the literal defeat of the revolution?
Well, after the events of May 1937, which was, again, one of the key points in the erosion of the revolutionary morale, which ultimately led to, you know, the collapse of complete collapse of the revolutionary idealism that had resisted Franco in the first place and the fascists. By 1938, early 1939, the will to resist had disappeared, because what they had originally been fighting for had gone, the ideal, the dream. And with the victorious march of the nationalist troops into Barcelona, up to the Pyrenees, then you had a mass exodus of refugees who had long experience of resistance and fighting, and many of whom were determined to continue the struggle as guerrillas. But that was changed with the onslaught of the Second World War in 1941, when the Germans invaded France, southern France.
So the southern France was where most of the anarchists and the CNT ended up in exile?
Most of the exiles had gone into concentration camps, put into concentration camps around Toulouse and Perpignan, that part of the Basque Pyrenees.
So they were imprisoned, by the French in concentration camps?
They were imprisoned by the French in concentration camps, and then when the Germans invaded, that part was effectively Vichy France. So many of them had escaped and gone into the Maquis, into the mountains, not many of them, but a good number of them had picked up the rifles. They had arms depots, and they continued the resistance struggle across the Pyrenees. But then, with the advent of the Second World War, many of them, large numbers of them, joined the French resistance. They didn't join the French resistance, and they became resistance units of their own, in their own right, many of them operating without any help from the French at all. So as well as the resistance groups, you also had the escape and evasion groups, such as that run by Ponsan, a man called Ponsan, which became known in the British escape networks as the Patolliri network, but in fact it was almost entirely run by Spanish anarchists. So most of the 1,500 prisoners of war and evadees who crossed the Pyrenees during the Second World War were in fact aided to escape by Spanish anarchists.
And when you say prisoners of war, these are allied prisoners of war. These are
allied prisoners of war.
Americans,
yeah.
British, airmen.
Americans, British, Canadian, French. Most of those were actually spirited across the Pyrenees. And many of them returned to Britain to continue the struggle.
So Spain, of course, remained neutral throughout the Second World War. So does this mean that the anarchist resistance kind of switched from fighting Franco to fighting the Nazis during the Second World War? Or was there still actions going on against the Franco regime?
Well, there were actions going on from about 1912. There was never any period when there was no actions against the Franco regime. But it didn't actually pick up any strength, the resistance, until 1944, when they set about the invasion of the Valley of Iran, which was in fact a communist-led operation for during the, because the Communist Party supported resistance only for a very short period, but in a number of cases they were using the they used the Valley of Iran operation as a means of entrapping a number of the anarchists. So it turned into a death trap for quite a few of them. But subsequently, the Stalin gave the order to not to get involved in the resistance.
The resistance to Franco.
This is in the resistance to Franco from 1944 onwards. But in fact, most of the southwest of France was in fact liberated by Spanish anarchists. There's also the case of the famous Leclerc's La Nueve, his second armor battalion, who took Paris, and Paris was taken by armored half tracks, part of Leclerc's operation, but all of them were Spanish, mostly Spanish anarchists, and with half-tracks named after famous battles of the Spanish Civil War. And the liberation of Paris, if you look at any of the newsreel footage of the liberation of Paris, you'll see that as I say, these half-tracks, some of them, in fact, are flying the Spanish Republican flag. This is during the liberation of Paris. And the names on these half-tracks are, as I say, Guadalajara, Battle of Madrid. They originally had them named after anarchist leaders such as Mera and Durruti, but it was decided that it would have been impolitic, so they changed them to battles of the Spanish Republic.
So with the defeat of the Nazis, did the Spanish anarchists then kind of renew the war of resistance against Franco, you know, post 1945?
Well, with the defeat of the end of the Second World War, everyone believed that the next dictator to fall would be Franco himself, and you know, promises had been made to many of the people who had been involved, including Leclerc. They were all led to believe that once Hitler had fallen, then the armies of the Allies would in fact start heading for Madrid. But in the politics of post-war Europe, it turned out to be a lie, because with the new enemy of Soviet communism, Franco was perceived as by the Americans as the sentinel of anti-communism. So ultimately, they weren't they were prevented from going to, you know, heading for Madrid.
So that meant that the anarchists were left to fight on alone again, so to speak, after the Second World War?
Exactly, except that what they had done, many of them had, as I said, particularly those who were involved with Leclerc's La Nueve, they'd set up arms deposits, caches, which they scattered across the Pyrenees. And they also had the support of logistical support from various forgers and people who were skilled in falsifying documents and also money. And one in particular, a guy called Cerrado Santos, he became one of the key financiers of the armed resistance against Franco. Between 1944-45 and 1949, there was a massive upsurge of guerrilla, urban and rural guerrilla activity in Spain. By 1949, there was a tremendous crackdown, mainly a result of police infiltration into the exile movement. And many of the urban and rural guerrillas were betrayed and arrested or killed in ambushes.
I'm Ramsey Canan. The programme is Against the Grain on Pacifica Radio, and my guest is anarchist writer Stuart Christie. So with the kind of crushing of that initial post-war wave of resistance, again, perhaps the most famous figure of whom was Sabaté, who was immortalised, if that's the right word, in the film starring Gregory Peck, Sabaté, Behold a Pale Horse, that some folks might remember. The 60s saw a new generation of anarchist resistance to Franco, and indeed to, as part of that upsurge of the 60s, of armed resistance to dictatorial regimes across the world. You did play some small part in that, which I'd like you to explain briefly, but perhaps more importantly than your own involvement, what became known as the 1st of May group, and what that general anti-fascist resistance throughout Europe comprised of.
Yeah, well, from, as I say, with the death of the last of the rural guerrillas was Kara Kemada, who was killed in 1963. But it was clear, the strategy was clear that it was no longer possible for urban or rural guerrillas to operate in the same way that they had done, as had the Sabater and Fasarias and Kara Kemada and many of the others. So it was just the anarchist movement came up with a new idea, which was they came up with they set up an organization in 1961, which was known as Defense Interior, which had two objectives, which was A, to raise the consciousness of the world against the Franco regime by propaganda, agitprop, organizing actions against tourism to Franco Spain, which was the main economic support of the regime. And the other objective was to assassinate Franco, of which there had been quite a few attempts. In fact, since 1936, there had been around about 40-odd attempts to kill Franco. My particular role in 1963, because I grew up in a working class background in a mining community, in which the history of the Spanish Civil War was a very real part, because so many of the miners from around that area of Scotland, the Central Mining Belt, had gone out and fought in the international brigades. So it was a very sore point, the fact that Franco was still alive and well and thriving in the 1960s. And I made it a point to make contact with the Spanish resistance movement in London, representatives of the Spanish resistance movement in London, and offered my services in the interior, in whichever way they felt I could best play a part.
You were caught in Spain, and you served 3 years of a 20-year sentence in Spanish prisons.
Yeah. Well, my role was the objective was to assassinate Franco during the final of the League Cup at Santiago Bernabeu in 1964. My job was to transport the explosives there, but in fact, by the time I got there, the cup final had been played, so it was decided to leave it until later on in the year. But I was turned out that the police were waiting for me, because the organization had been fairly successfully infiltrated, and the secret police were waiting for me when I arrived in Madrid with the explosives and the detonators and the instructions. And I walked into a trap, I was taken to security headquarters, kept there for a week in the dungeons, and then subjected to a summary court-martial, council of war, they call them, and sentenced to 20 years, of which I served 3.5, mainly because I was a foreigner. Had I been a Spaniard as my the comrade I was liaising with, who was a Spaniard, he ended up as the longest serving political prisoner in Spain. He wasn't released until 1977, in fact, after Franco had died.
So the anarchist movement in the 60s and 70s found itself rejuvenated, and Spanish anarchists were involved internationally, most famously being Lucio in his successful campaign against Citibank. So the reverberations of Spanish anarchism continued well into the 70s.
Yeah, well, with the Defense Interior lasted only about a short time, mainly because of hostility from the National Committee, the CNT in exile, people like Monseni and Iglesias, who played a very murky part in the international movement of the time. But as I say, after the death of Delgado Granado, two anarchists who were executed in 63, they put the block on. They refused to continue to support Defense Interior financially. And the result of that was the setting up of a parallel defense organization called the 1st of May Group, which became the leading urban the leading sort of international urban guerrilla group, operating first of all targeting Francoism and the Franco regime at home and abroad, but also with the changing situation internationally, particularly with the Vietnam War, it began to extend itself beyond the confines of Spain into the international arena, and it became a genuinely international movement targeting, which was very much involved in the radical politics and the movement of the late 60s, 68, 69, 70, and the rise of the urban guerrilla groups, which emerged from there, from the art group I forget the name of the GAP, various other radical German groups, French groups, Belgian Jew groups. So they extended their influence in throughout, you know, they were very influential throughout Europe at that time.
And we're kind of running out of time now, unfortunately, but recently much of your work has focused on the current socialist government, who are admitting, I guess, to some of the war crimes of the Franco era. There's been mass graves unearthed of militants who were summarily executed, who were murdered. Can you talk a little bit about your attempts to find some justice in from the current regime in Spain?
Well, basically, I'm not suing the Spanish government, but I'm pressing the Spanish government to overturn the Council of War, which sentenced me to 20 years. Basically, not because of any particular injustice. I feel quite proud of the fact that I did what I did. But the idea is to force the Spanish government to recognise the illegality of the courts martial, which sentenced not only me but thousands of other people. The problem is for them that if they do that, it opens a Pandora's box of as I said, tens, perhaps hundreds of thousands of people were tried by these tribunals, military tribunals. Many of them were, and most of them were executed, or people were taken out and shot summarily. So the idea is to expose the fact that the legality of these trials has never ever been called into question by the so-called Democratic Spain. and as far as I'm concerned, the transition from Francoism to democracy was just simply a political deal whereby Spain could become a full participant in the European Common Market.
And finally, in the last couple of minutes, do you see the current activities in Spain, the occupations of the town squares, etc., do you see that as a continuation of those now century-old ideals of Spanish anarchism? Is this anarchism making a resurgence in Spain?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the people, although they don't use the name, and in fact they don't use any political names at all, anyone who turns up in the squares across Spain who are trying to capitalize on the movement for their own ideological or political reasons, for own political motivations, are turfed out. They come in one end and they get turfed out the other end. So it's a completely apolitical grassroots organization, which is just so encouraging. And it promises, that the ideas and the ideals of anarchism haven't died. They're still as strong as ever.
Great. So the 75 years later, we can say the revolution lives on in Spain?
It certainly does. And it will extend beyond Spain to Italy and Greece as well, if fortune shines upon us.
Stuart Christie, thank you very much.
Thank you.
I've been speaking with Stuart Christie, anarchist publisher and author of Granny Made Me an Anarchist, his autobiography, and We the Anarchist, amongst many other works. You can find a link to his work on our website, againstthegrain.org. You've been listening to Against the Grain. I'm Ramsey Canan. Thanks for listening, and please tune in again next time.